Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things I love about the Gospel of Mark is that Mark sort of just tells it like it is. There's no glossing over, no trying to make sense of it, no trying to make Jesus look a little better or fare a little better than he actually does. In this lesson for today, I'm struck with a question. And it started as I was reading the paper the newspaper this week, and you ever read the newspaper? How much good news is there in the newspaper? It's like really depressing. And so I was reading this text, and I'm reading the newspaper, and I thought, well, I'll turn to the internet news. There's no good news there either, or at least not much. This weekend, as I was listening to the Maritime Radio, I heard them doing what was called, it's called a pon-pon, and a pon-pon is when the Coast Guard or someone else is calling to let you know that something has happened, and they reported a 15-year-old boy swept out to sea in the midst of all of the celebrations. As I read and I heard and I experienced all of this, and I was reading this lesson, I thought to myself, how can we sing in this broken world? And I thought about all of you. Each and every week, you manage to get up, some of you earlier than others. It's always fun. I love the 9:15 service because the 8 o'clock people are saying, are we ever going to start? And the 10:30 people say, oh my God, this is too early. But you come week after week after week, and we sing joyful songs and psalms unto God. We talk and we laugh and we drink coffee and we share the good news of Jesus Christ. But we do it in the midst of this broken world, our home. It's a really important distinction. When Jesus goes back to his hometown, you would think, you know, he's well known by now, even in this early part. Jesus is fairly well known. He's been doing miracles. You would think it would be sort of like, you know, one of the baseball players coming home to his high school having made the big leagues. But it isn't. Jesus goes into the synagogue, and he does exactly as he always does. And rather than be excited and joyful and supportive and all the stuff that we're supposed to be of our children, it says they were astonished. The word has this little inflection, not astonished as in, OMG, it's Jesus, and he's, oh, isn't it wonderful what he can do? It's more, they're kind of offended. They're astonished, and they say, what is he doing? I love this phrase, where did he get all of this? The Bible. Where did he get all of this wisdom? From God. How can this be? Is this not just the carpenter? How can it possibly be that he would have anything to say? How could a son or daughter of our own congregation have anything worthwhile or important? Oh, sorry. Important to say. Sorry, it's an inside joke. Pastor Phyllis is a daughter of our congregation. How could they have anything important to say? I remember when we changed their diapers and all of that good stuff. It's just Jesus. And he's home. But the Gospel of Matthew says, and he did not do any great works while he was there. But the Gospel of Mark says, and he could not do any great works while he was there. Not in his own home. In the midst of the brokenness of his own community, this Jesus of Nazareth is still called to sing. And so it says that in fact he could do no great works, but he at least laid hands on a few people and cured them, so he wasn't completely without power. But then he did something amazing. Not being able to witness in his own home, he gathers the 12 and he sends them out. He sends them out in the Spirit. And they went out from that place and he said to them, "Don't take anything with you. No bread, no sack of money, no extra tunic. Just go. And wherever you stop, the first place that you stay, just stay there and share the word." Share the word. Share this good news wherever you are. And they went out and proclaimed that everyone should turn around and see God and receive the Spirit. And they healed and cured many people. Right there. What I find remarkable about this story is that Jesus doesn't just sort of sit down in a heap and say, "Oh, I just can't do it anymore. My own cousins, my own aunties, my own uncles, my own people will not listen." Instead, filled with the Holy Spirit, he sends out the disciples who again sing in a broken world. Look at Paul. Paul tells this wonderful story. It's one of the weirdest stories, I think, that Paul ever says. "I knew this man about 14 years ago who said he'd been pulled up into the third heaven. I didn't know there was more than one. Pulled up into the third heaven. I don't have any idea whether it was in the body or not. I don't know. God knows." But for all of that, he says, "I'm not jealous." Yeah. He says, "In fact, I've been given this thorn." Remember the story of Paul? He has this stitch in his side. And he says, "You know, I'm not jealous about that. I'm not looking for that power. I don't want to boast about it, even though I know this is a wonderful and powerful thing. But I live in this brokenness of my body that reminds me of the brokenness of the world and the need for the world to hear the song of grace." It is that same home into which all of you have been called in your brokenness to share the word. I have news for you. You do not have to be perfect or perfectly healthy or perfectly spiritually informed or have an MDiv or a degree in theology to be able to share the good news of Jesus. Let's get it out of the way. I had an evangelist once say to a group of us, he said, "Right there in your congregation, you already have everything you need to share the gospel in a broken world. You have singers. You have stewardship people. You have folks, you have nurses and doctors. You have marketing people. You have just ordinary workers, that's me, ordinary people who are fully and blessedly equipped to do the work to share the good news of Jesus Christ." Jesus sees that in his own disciples. Who does he call to be his disciples? What kind of people? Fishermen? What else? tax collectors. Ooh. Anybody else? What's that?
Doctor.
Doctor, old Luke, yeah. Yeah, and then eventually even a tent maker named Paul. These are not. How many priests did he call? How many Sadducees did he call? Paul. Sheesh, Talander. How, well, kind of. Pharisee. Yeah, not a, right. You notice I didn't ask about the Pharisees. Yeah, right. That's right. Paul was a Pharisee. How many professional clergy did Paul call to, did Jesus call Paul? See what you did to me? Did Jesus call to go out and spread the word to a broken world? Not one. You see, the Holy Spirit is in you and equips you to do the work to which you have been called. And not to do it here, but there. I love that phrase in Ezekiel where it says, "In the Spirit of the Lord stood me up," it says. It's a great phrase. In the same way, God's Spirit stands us up and sends us out. And you know what's prophetic about it? What's remarkable? What's absolutely astounding, to use that word from the New Testament, is that God calls every one of you in your brokenness and in your joy. God calls you ordinary people to sit in this place and in the world and to pray for world leaders, to ask for God's intervention in justice. And to even, I love that first hymn, to sing about the house that you will build. I think it's no accident that Marty Haugen, when he wrote that hymn, didn't write the hymn, "See the house that we have built. We're all so happy here. We have really nice pews upon which we sit, and now we wish you were here." Works a little for the rhyme, but I'm getting there. You see, we're called to keep building this house in Jesus, to keep being sent out into the world with the Holy Spirit so that the good news of Christ can be shared everywhere. We are constantly being remade and sent out with sandals on our feet and no extra tunic, set out into the world to do one and one thing only: to bring the healing of God, to sing a song in a broken world. Jesus, maybe that day, was unable to do the things he was accustomed to do, those healings and those incredible changes in life in his own hometown. Instead, he made his hometown the whole world by sending out the disciples, by sending out each of you. The hometown of Jesus becomes the cosmos. And there are no limits set by walls or ethnicity, or sexuality, or any other itty that prevents us from sharing that word in Jesus. And to be remade from the inside out into God's joyful people, with all of our hurts and sorrows and regrets. Even in the midst of all the bad news of the world, God's Spirit reigns. And God is in the process of making God's house and making it your home. Amen.